Shalom Aleichem. First of all, I apologize that I didn't do this last night. I tried several times. I just couldn't do it. I'll attempt to be brief because I know it's coming on Erev Shabbos. I oftentimes try to be brief. I'm not always successful. I'll try my best. This should be, once again, Lilu Nishmas, Rav Uri ben Asher Menachem Mendel Zohar. Rav Uri Zohar passed away Erev Shavuos. I think actually that what we'll talk about, I think, has relevance to what I feel he did for Klal Yisrael. One thing that he did. Let's start off the topic. The two topics here, they're intertwined with one another. First one is, why do we need Yisrael if we have the Torah? And the second one is, is there hope for the fallen? What do I mean? Let's see. It says, Vayom Moshe, in Perik Yud, Pasuk Chaf Tes, in Parshas Balos. I know you, those of you in Chutz La'aretz haven't caught up yet. Shem Yazor, I give you a whole week to prepare. Vayom Moshe L'chovav Ben Ru'el HaMidyani, Chosen Moshe, Nosim Anachnu El HaMakom, Asher Amar Hashem, Oso Eten Lechem, Moshe Rabbeinu tries to encourage Yisro to stay with him, to come with him to Eretz Yisrael. No, I'm not coming with you now. I have to go back to my land, to Midian, to Bimagar, my family, Mefarshim say. Vayomer al na tazov osana, Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't leave us. Kal ken yadata chanoseinu b'midbar, you have known our Chanoseinu, okay, there are different ways to understand it. Certainly the most partial way to understand it is our encampments, Bamidvar Vayisalanu Leinayim. And you were for us a Naim, you were a guiding light for us, you were eyes for us, you will be eyes for us. It's a discussion. Says Rashi, we're only going to discuss, Rashi says, brings the two explanations. Vayisalanu Leinayim, Loshon Avar Kitargumo. You have seen our the way that Hashem has been with us in the Midbar. Okay, but I want to address the second parish of Rashi. Davar Acher, Loshon Asid, Kol Davar Davar Shis Ale Meinenu Tia Meir Einenu. Everything that will be hidden, obscured from us, from our vision, you will enlighten us and you will tell us the right way. This is a mind-boggling thought. And I asked the question, and then after I saw the Nolam Melech Melech asked the question, why do we need Yisro? I mean, it's a partial question. Why do we need Yisro? Why do we need Yisro? After all, we've got the Torah, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, we have Nevuah. Why do we need Yisro? Why do we need Yisro? So I'll be honest, later on in Parshas Chukas, you know the story when Bnei Israel enter into Eretz Israel and they're crossing over Mavar Yabok, the stream of Yabok, and and they're crossing over there, and we know that the Emorim were gathered in the mountains, the pass, right, overlooking the pass they were going to pass go through, and they planned to throw down large stones on them, crush the Jews, etc., etc., etc. And we know that miraculously, almost in continental drift form, one side of the gulch was mountains with caves, the other side of the gulch were mountains with precipices that neatly fit into the caves, into the orifices of the caves, and the one mountain came to greet the other one in excitement of seeing Eretz Yisrael, seeing the Jewish people enter into Israel, and boom, we had Shish Kabbah of the Emorim. Okay, again, this is not our topic, this is for Parshas Chukas, but anyway, what does it say over there? So we're familiar, mostly familiar, with the rendition that the Medrash gives us of how did the Jews actually find out about this. This took place before they actually arrived to pass through that gulch, to that wadi. So how did they know about it? So we're familiar with the Medrash. The Medrash says that the Be'er told them about it. However, the Gemara, Lamaisa in Brachas, on Nun Daled, actually tells us they found out it a different way. They found out about this via two Mitzorayim, who were, obviously because they're Mitzorayim, they were outside the encampment of the Jewish people. One is named Es, and the other one is named Vahev. These two Mitzorayim, these people were outside the encampment. They were the ones who kept them informed. They were the ones who told them. They passed through after Bnei Yisrael went through the gulch. They saw the blood dripping from the hills, and they were able to tell the Jewish people about the incredible miracle that had taken place for them. The Inayar of Cook has a very long discussion of this, what each one represents, Es and Vahev. It's not, we can't do that now. Otherwise, my assurance is that I'll try and make this short will be not even close. But in any event, we see that sometimes there are those who are outside of Klal Yisrael who are able to give Klal Yisrael something that they wouldn't have ordinarily, that they wouldn't be able to have from within. In this case over here, obviously Mitzrayim are people who are outside the encampment. They are not the highest, the upper crust of observant, right, society. They are those who, as it were, who have fallen off in one manner, shape, or form, and that's what Rav Kook addresses, what each one represents, Es and Vahev, etc. But because they know what's going on the outside, because they have indeed fallen away from the mainstream of observance, right, in different areas, they're able to keep us informed. And by the same token, also, Yisro over here, not that he's, God forbid, Yisro over here is a person of the highest integrity. As I heard years and years ago from Rav Nissen Alpert, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rebbe, I was Zocheh, which we're called to have, he said that when Yisro was first introduced in the Torah, it says, Yishma Yisro, Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe. Parshas Yisro, Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe. And it tells the story that Yisro was a person who was on a journey. He was on a journey. First he was Yisro, he was a member of Paro's think tank, well-respected, put upon a pedestal because of his prodigious intellect, understanding of the world. He saw Paro wants to kill the Jews, he says, this is not for me, I'm out of here. He left. He went to Midyan, and there became Kohen Midyan. And he searched every Avodah Zarah, and he became the chief honcho there of religious service, because he actually was familiar with every Avodah Zarah, and he saw after a while, this is Sheker. See, he tossed out that respect, the respect of Paro, that he received in Paro, being a member of Paro's think tank. He threw away his respect, his position as being the chief honcho of Avodah Zarah in Midyan, and then he became Chosein Moshe. He met Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, this is a person of truth. It's kedai for me just to be called his father-in-law. That's Yisro. So he's not outside the pale, but he does have certain qualities by virtue of his fact that he's coming from the outside that that perhaps are not available to us because we're on the inside. It doesn't mean we should be on the outside. We're meant to be on the inside, but sometimes we have to learn from those on the outside because they sometimes realize things that we perhaps are not sufficiently aware or sensitive to. So let's take a look. Says the Noam Elimelech. V'yom Moshe l'chovev. Nosim anachnu. Right? Right? We're leaving. L'chora v'yis alanu le'naim. He's going with Rashi's Prat. Ein lo shachar. What are we talking about over here? Halo aron v'anani akovor holchim lifneim l'horus lahem aderach. To direct them in the derach? They need Yisro. They've got the aron. They've got the anani akovor. Right? You've known our encampment in the Midbar. Says the Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech Lezhinsk, Rav Mailech. He says, near the forest, dine al yedei di sarusa de la tata, hui sarusa de la eila. Hashem is with us the way we are with Him. This is an idea that we've discussed many, many times already, based upon the Medrash that the Nefesh HaChaim brings on the Pasuk, Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yeminecha. Hashem is like the tail of your right hand. Just as you move your hand, so do the shadows cast. Same thing also, what you put into your relationship with Hashem in turn determines the level, the intensity, the fine-tuned nature of one's hashgacha. V'hainu, right? So too he says, Isarusa, awakening from below, causes Isarusa de la'ela, causes an awakening from above. It's just different terminologies. Isarusa, wake up, la'ela, above, tata, below. It's really the same concept as that which the Nefesh HaChaim taught us on the Pasuk Hashem Tzilcha al Gadi Minecha. V'hainu, kishatzadik rotzi la'ore rachamim v'shefa la'olam, tzarcha ole mitchila chedva v'simcha la'bori baruchu. V'hidezeh mashpia Hashem yizbarach tovos la'olam. The tzadik, by being cognizant of the chesed that Hashem is showing towards us, towards himself, towards Klal Yisrael b'chlal. When a person is makir tov to Rebbe Rishon, that in turn opens up the spigot of greater shefa to come down from above. And this, if you're aware of what's going on, if you appreciate, I'll continue to give you, because that creates a deeper relationship. What Hashem wants to do is He wants to give us the opportunity through our own efforts to form a relationship, a forge a relationship with Him. Not that He should foist it upon us, because then that's just a freebie, and that's not worth very much for those that are familiar with freebies. Yeah, bread of shame as the Talmud refers to it, Nahama de Kisufa. But anyway, be that as it may, so the tzaddik, he wants to be Orer, the rachamim and shefa, the olam, so he's osek b'simcha, in his avodas Hashem, he's appreciative of everything that Hashem gives him. V'yidezeh mashpia Hashem yizbarach tovos la'olam v'zeh na'asa al yidei sha'atzadik makir v'roa b'nisim v'niflo sh'ose imonu yotzreinu bor'einu ozbalo simcha mizeh v'kem sh'ish simcha la'atzadik al yidei zeh u'ma'ora simcha l'mala. Understood. This, says the Noam Elimelech, is also a pshat in the pasuk Eine Hashem el tzadikim. We say in Dovi b'Shamsos Talmud lifnei Avi Melech Berak Lamed Dalet. Eine Hashem el tzadikim. Such an interesting way of understanding things. The Einayim, Kov Yochel, the way Hashem sees us as His creations, is given over to the tzadikim. They determine the way Hashem's Einayim are pointed, are focused on us. She Eine Hashem heim bigad ha-tzadikim. Osin kaviyachla einayim la kodesh baruch hu, sheyitnu eino pekicha al amu akodosh letova. You hear that? Not that eini Hashem el tzadikim, just that Hashem is looking at the tzadikim. Eini Hashem el tzadikim, the way that Hashem looks at the world, the way Hashem looks at Klal Yisrael, is given over into the hands of the tzadikim, because they, as it were, they live in connection, in appreciation to the Bori Yisbarach. And as such, Hashem sends down his connection, his shefa, his fine-tuned ashgacha pratis. That's what it means. Ki al kein yadata chanoseinu b'mibar, rotzoloma sh'ata hikarta niflos v'godel hachanina sh'asi imanu Hashem yizbarach v'midbar v'chanoseinu miloshen chanina. You hear this? The chain that Hashem showed us, chanoseinu. Interesting, right? I mean, you don't need to necessarily say this explanation to Chanoseinu, but it does make it very sweet, right? You don't need to say that explanation in order to be able to appreciate that which Rabbi Malach is saying, but it does definitely make it even more sweet. You have seen the chain that Hashem has shown us in the midbar. You are cognizant of it. You're coming from the outside. Sometimes when you're on the inside, you just don't see it. Not that you can't see it. You could see it. But you're so caught up in yourself. In this is the Hashem's relationship with you, that you forget, guess what, it's a gift, guess what, it's a chesed. Sometimes we become like the fellow who's circling around Water Street, looking for a parking spot, lordy, get me a parking spot, I got a $500,000 deal to sign, lordy, please, I'll give stock, okay, I'll give more than a mice, I'll give chomish, oh, never mind, Hashem, it's not necessary, somebody pulled out. Asleep at the wheel, literally. Magieli, it's coming to me. In that sense, I want to mention that Rav Uri Zohar, that in fact Levracha was a person who came totally from the outside. Totally from the outside. He was a symbol of the non-observant culture in Israel. He was an icon of the entertainment industry. He was a mover, he was a shaker, he was the head of the whole pack. And when he became frum, it was a shock. It sent shockwaves throughout the world here. But above and beyond that, the way he continued his life in such, really, there's no way to describe it, austere, but full of simcha. Full of simcha. Austere circumstances. To go from fame and success and whatever you want from that world, and then to lead an austere life of Torah. And he was happy. Not that he was bent out of shape. He chose austerity. That doesn't mean it's good for everybody. And he himself said that certainly nowadays that's not good for everybody. He's the first one to say it. Not for his family necessarily, but for what he called for this generation. That's what he chose. But he was happy as a lark. And he learned and learned and learned and learned. And he made us aware of things that, you know, we take for granted. And he pointed out to us. Sometimes you need to come from the outside in order to be able to explain to the people on the inside what they really have. Further. Next question was, is there hope for the fallen? That's going to emanate, hopefully, from our discussion over here. Let's just pose a few questions over here. We're coming to a section here of the Torah where the Jewish people are not at their highest point, even though Lamaisa, we've just spent an entire year at Har Sinai, we leave Har Sinai. Chazal say we left Har Sinai Kitinok Borech Mibes HaSefer. It was like, okay, enough, right? This must be enough. We can leave now. We can go. Again, it's not this, let's not confuse our level with their level, etc., but given who they were, this was considered like a child who hears a recess bell. Again, they were not us. We are not them. They understood a lot more. They knew a lot more. They were much deeper. They were much more connected. But for them, it was considered Ketina Kobarecha Beis HaSefer. And then what happens? The Aron travels in front of them, which itself is a little bit of a problem, because it would appear that earlier in the Parsha that the Aron actually traveled after Degel Machane Ruvain started to travel. So why is there an Aron traveling in front of them if the Aron is coming after, right, after Degel Machane Ruvain? And the source of Degel Machane Yehuda, so earlier in the Parsha, then Bnei Gershon Bimrori took apart the Mishkan and they traveled. Then the Degel Machane Ruvain started to travel, and Aron and his bunim took apart the inner parts of the Mishkan, the Kelim there, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach HaKetores, etc., right? The all the Kelim, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, covered them up, and the Bnei Kohas then carried them. They carried them. And one of those Kelim was the Aron. So how do we have an Aron, which the Pesukim now say is traveling in front of Bnei Israel, distance from Bnei Israel 3 days' time, to clear the area for them, prepare the area for them? What's going on? So let's see. It says, "Vayusu mehar Hashem." Sorry, from Har Sinai. Derech Shlosh Yisrael. This is what Chazal say, that they left Ketina Kobreichem Beis HaSefer. Barom Brit Hashem Nosei Lefdeim. The Aron is traveling before them. Derech Shlosh Yisraelim Losur Lehem Menucha, to search out a place of resting for them. Says Rashi, Der Shloshes Hamim, Mahalach Shloshes Hamim, Halchu B'Yom Echad, Shakurish Brochu, Chofetz Lachnisam Le'eretz Miyam. They traveled, the Jewish people traveled a distance of 3 days in 1 day, because Hashem was interested in bringing them to Eretz Yisrael as quickly as possible. Of course, we know they complained about this, right, at the pace, but okay. V'arom Brit Hashem Nosei Lefneim, Der Shloshes Hamim, says the Sifrei, says the Gemara, Zeh Aron Ayotzi Yimayim Le'Milchama. Which Aron is this? Another Aron, the Aron that goes out with them to Milchama. Ubo Shivrei Luchos Munachim, And inside this Aron were the broken luchos from the first luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed. He broke them to pieces. When he came down and saw the egel that the Jewish people had made, they remained in an Aron. Which Aron is this? So it would appear to be the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to make in order to receive the new luchos. The new luchos. And there's the second set of luchos. And after those new luchos were placed into the Aron of the Mishkan, then according to this opinion, again, there's more than one opinion over here, but according to this opinion, the luchos that were shattered remained in the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made. And this was the Aron that always went out with the Jewish people to war. Once again, there's one opinion here. We're going with what we were given here. So this is a second Aron that contained the shattered first set of luchos. So it says Rashi, Ze Aron hayotzi imayim l'melchama, ubo shivrei luchos munachim, umaktim zneim derech shloshes yomim, their derech of shloshes yomim, a path of 3 days, nesakin lehem mokom chanoya, to prepare a place for them, right? We know the Aron flattened the areas, flattened what do you call the hills, raised up the valleys, etc., killed the nechashim akrovim, to prepare the way for them. So first of all, it's bizarre. If in fact, as Chazal say, they left Har Sinai, Kitina Koborechem Beis HaSefer, right? So why is Hashem doing this incredible chesed for them, sending the Aron out? Also, if he's sending out the Aron, why is he sending out the Aron? They got the Shivrei Luchos. A general rule is, Ein Katego Nasa Sanega, you can't use a prosecutor as a defendant. This is part one of the reasons that we don't blow a shofar, right? Made from a cow, right? There are other issues there as well, but you don't blow a shofar made from a cow on Rosh Hashanah, or the Kohen Gadol, when he enters into the Kodesh Kodashim to do the service of Yom Kippur, he doesn't wear the golden adornments, gold, what do you call gold, the golden clothing, he doesn't wear a special, you know, Shmona Begadim, that have gold in them, because after all, gold reminds us the eagle, Ein Katego Nasa Sanegu, you can't use something that ostensibly is there as a source for the prosecution, as your defense attorney. So they're sending out, we don't understand why they're sending out an Aron in front of them anyway, they left Har Sinai Kitina Koborechem Beis HaSefer, okay, but they're sending out an Aron, okay, to pave the way for them. Lo Barur Me'achuz, but we're sending an Aron, we're sending one with the Shivrei Luchos, with the broken Luchos, that's supposed to be for our merit, isn't it, to our detriment? And then, then it continues. Vanan Hashem aleihem, yomam benosam min amachrem. Right, the clouds of glory are above them, etc. Vahi ben tzal Aaron, vayom Moshe, kum Hashem v'yafut zovecha, v'enusa misenecha mipanecha. So again, we've talked about other times. We're not going to talk about today. It'll take us too long. The nunim afuchim, the backwards nunim, upside down nunim, perhaps. That bracket, these two psukim, Vahi ben tzal Aaron, vayom Moshe, kum Hashem v'yafut zovecha, v'enusa misenecha mipanecha, and uvenucho yomar. Right, shuv Yisrael, shuvu ruvos alfa Yisrael. Right, two psukim. They're bracketed on either side by the what do you call, by the nunim afuchim. But even so, it's Rashi says on Vahi ben tzal Aaron, Aslo Simonios milafonav la'achrov, right before Vahi ben tzal and after uvenucho yomar. Chains on a Como, it doesn't mean to be here, it meant to separate one Puranas from another Puranas, one calamity from another calamity. We have several calamities over here. We've got the calamity of their leaving Har Sinai, Kitina, Kobarech, and Bisa Sefer. We've got the calamity of, we see later on in the Parsha, of the Misonanim, those who are complaining, oh, can't take the pace, even though Hashem's interest was to bring them into Eretz Yisrael even sooner, they were complaining. And then there was Kivros HaTava, their desire to have meat that was the relationship with could be with that meat is not as intense as the relationship with the man, where they recognized that Hashem, it was in their minds and knew exactly what they wanted. They wanted to live more normal. Okay, I'm not getting off onto that topic. Rashi says over here, Kum Hashem, Fishahaya Maktim Lifneim Mahalach Shloshis Yomim. Haya Moshe Omer Amod Vamtein Lano Al Tisrachek Yoser. Don't distance yourself more. The Aron, we've got such a Mishkan Babel, as they say in Latin, yeah, of different things going on over here. If they're in the process of behaving incorrectly, why is Hashem sending out the Aron in the first place? If he's sending out the Aron, why is it this Aron that's got in it the Shivrei Luchos, which should recall the Avera they committed with the Cheta Egel? Okay? If that be the case, but he is somehow dealing with them, he is somehow doing a favor, though we don't understand why in the world he's doing this favor for them, but okay, he is doing it for them, and he's using the Shivrei Luchos, which we don't understand why he's using the Shivrei Luchos, because after all, shouldn't that recall the Avera that they committed? They go, okay, let's just not pay attention to that for that moment, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, stop, don't go too far. I understand, why would you say Hashem would go too far? What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? What is he saying? Why do we need him to say this? Obviously Hashem is helping them, right? It's obvious Hashem is helping them. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to go too far? Something strange. It says, yeah, the Pietesner, the Esh Kodesh, Hashem Yikum Domo. Kolonim is Kalmish in Pietesner. He says, when Rashi comments, "Vayibin Tzaron, Vayom Moshe, Kum Hashem ve'afutzo evech ve'enusim misanecha mipanecha." Misanecha? So Rashi says, "Elu soni Yisrael, those who hate the Jews. Shkola soni Yisrael, soni es mi she'omar v'haya olam. Shneem u'misanecha nasu rosh u'mihem al amcha yarim usor." Pasuk in Tehillim. Those who are misanecha, those who hate you, Hashem, they've raised up their head. Who are they? As it says later on, al am chayari musod. As it were, they plot against the Jewish people. In other words, when people say they hate the Jews, really what they say is they don't want God's involvement in the world. The Jewish people are, in that sense, the conscience of the world, whether we're behaving 100% or not behaving 100%. But in that sense, we remind the world that there is a higher beat, the beat of a higher drum to march to. And that makes people nervous. They're not interested. They don't want anybody to rock the boat to the way they live this world. So when they hate the Jews, are they lying? Is it subliminal? It could be one sometimes or the other times. But really what they're saying is we don't want that type of Hashem that the Jews represent in our world. We don't want that Kesher. So therefore, we understand a little bit. We'll take one step. They've sinned, right? They're not behaving properly. They're leading Sinai, Ketina, Berecha, Beis, or whatever other sin was committed at that point. Again, I don't want to get lost in the roundabouts. It's possible Rashi and the Gemara would say perhaps differently. The Gemara that discusses this idea. But nonetheless, we are still considered the representative, certainly at this juncture of the Rabbon Shalom. Therefore, Hashem is going to be there for us. But how is he going to be there for us? Is going to pat us on the back and say, oh, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, great job. Or is he going to be with us, but in a fashion that also reminds us that you have what to fix. You have a lot to fix. Says the Bat Ayin. Mitzvahs. The Iker Briyas Ha'olam Aisa Bishvil Yisrael or Bishvil HaYirash Nikraim Reishis. Right? Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Bereshis, Yisrael, Shnikraim Reshis, Reshis Tvuaso. The creation of the world is for man to have a relationship with the Creator, for man to forge that relationship. not to have it given to him on a silver platter, but to forge that relationship. Hanu shi Yisrael yu dvekim Hashem tamid b'yir agdola. Hanu al yidei hizbonanus b'gadluso yizbarach. V'yifachei v'yarei miponav. They should know before whom they stand. We should know before whom we stand. That's the way it always is. Again, that's the first entrance way, is do you know before whom you stand? Then afterwards, once you've entered, your avoda is typified by incredible ahava, dveikus, simcha. But in order to step through the looking glass, you have to be shaken up a little bit. What is life about? Where am I going? Why am I here? Once again, this what do you call it? This was something that was very typical of Avuri Zohar. Sefer Tzadik Livracha. Why am I here? Why was I put here? What was I meant to do? Was I meant to be just a movie star? Right? A host on television? The cause célèbre of the world of entertainment? I can't be why I came here. That's not why I came here. Interesting. Omnam. V'chayos ratzol v'shov. Pasuk in Cheskel says about Hayim. The archangels, the chayos, they run forward, they come back, they run forward, they come back. And this is a terminology used, right, in the world of Avoda. She efshel adam lam o tamid ba'osa b'china. That rarefied atmosphere of... You can't hold on to it forever. First of all, you never exhale. You can't. Lefamim nofel mizos habachina. You maintain it, and then you drop. And then you go forward again, but then you drop. Right? V'nechshach ha'or ha'kadosha b'libo. And the light of holiness, of kedusha, sun sets inside the person's heart. Light dims. Sheinu dovek b'kokach b'machshavto v'libo b'yiras Hashem. He doesn't feel as attached as before. U'bavur zos nishbar libo b'kirbo al heder ha'or ha'hu milibo v'nichna me'od b'nei Hashem. This is something I think, I can't be the only person who ever feels this, right? I assume that other people do as well. Sometimes you feel empty. You're close, and then you do whatever you do, you forget whatever you forget, and you feel empty. You feel empty. And you feel so... You feel even emptier that you feel empty. The light goes out, the light dims, and you feel... Ah, what have I done? Where am I? Says the Bataim, v'zeu b'chinas shivrei luchos. The Jewish people are in the midst right now of leaving Har Sinai inappropriately. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mashgiach upon them, like the Pietzesna said, because they represent the Rabbon Shalom in the world. Those who hate us hate the Rabbon Shalom. So for them to abandon us completely, right, is to abandon the message that he wishes to communicate to the world, because those who hate us hate him. But we're not going to get a free ride. Hashem is going to remind us, your light has dimmed. So Bechina, says the Batayin, Shivrei Aluchos, Shalibo Nishbar Bekirbo Megodel Habush Bebnei Hashem Al Shnisfacheg Midveikus Hanal. That is Bedavka, that's specifically why Hashem is sending out over here. Again, this is not like the Begarim of the Kohen Gadol, where he's glorified. But he's begun made out of gold. You're taking glory to the gold. You know what the gold represents. We don't wear, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear his golden begadim on Yom Kippur inside the Kodesh Kodoshim, in the place of the most rarefied connection to Hashem. Outside, yes, not inside. But here, it's not glory. Here, the Shivrei Luchos remind us, you have fallen. And that creates an incredible yearning inside of us and a realization of a busha. Lantir asal panechem zuav busha, the Mishnah before, for whom we stand. So that being the case, we can understand now. Hashem, based upon what the Piyachesna taught us, is not going to abandon us, even though we've fallen. He's going to lead in front, because we represent his people. We are the vehicle to reveal his name in the world. He's still going to lead us. He's going to lead us with the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos, to remind us. Do you remember? Do you realize, even now, that you're doing something that's not so true, not so correct? Further, says the Imre Emes, right? Mishkan kisa ha'anon es ha'mishkan la'ol ha'idus. La'anon covered the Mishkan, the clouds of glory. Isa v'yalkut kisa ha'anon. Why does it say ha'anon? It doesn't say kisa anon. Ha'anon, the anon. Oso anon shenigla alav al har Sinai. The anon, the cloud that covered them, right? The Mishkan is the same Anan that was upon Har Sinai. Akin to what the Ramban teaches us, that the purpose of the Mishkan Bechlal was to be a portable and movable Har Sinai. And he continues, Mashal ma'adov adomer lemelech shahilo oev, right? Shalach va'amalo asken atzrach, I'm coming back to you, right? And the two friends, what do you call it, one didn't actually thought he would actually really come back and come back. Would he come back and visit him in public? What do you call it? You know, am I worthy of that? Am I worthy of the friendship of this great, great, great friend that I had? And he says, yes. And he boys the chabah farhesia. HaTorah chazr v'nishnish bo'ol moed. The Anan returned to, what do you call it, to the Ol Moed, and the Torah was taught again. Like Rabbi Akiva taught us. Right, the Torah, all the Klalim and the Pratim were given in Har Sinai and gone over again in the Mishkan. Nishnis, learned again. HaTorah, hi, Eidus, Shechazar, HaKol, Kumo Shehaya Bahar Sinai. The Mishkan, the Torah that was learned in the Mishkan, the Anan that covered the Mishkan, were replicating Har Sinai to tell us, you sinned with the Egel Azov. I've come back to you. Anan yichasenu kubo b'matan Torah dechsiv. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Ba'av ha'anan, av ha'anan, the thickness of the cloud. Av is gematria chesed. 72, ayin beis, samach dalet ches, right? 72. Shkola osik b'Torah b'layla chut shel chesed m'shulchalav b'yom." The Eish covered the Mishkan at night. The Anan covers it during the day. The Osik in the Torah, as it were, in the evening, in the night times. And the Hashem's Chesed is revealed during the day where everyone can see it. Kmo chen, me'akomas ha-Mishkan ad ha-Nasiya Rishona hayu chamishim yom. Yeshem shayu mi'yitzias Yitzrayim ad Kabbalas ha-Torah. Just as from Yitzias Mitzrayim until the receipt of the Torah were 50 days, so too also from the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, until the Nesia Rishona, the 20th day of the second month, right, 50 days, it's replication. Oh, but we sinned! But Hashem won't abandon us. His connection to us will be the way it was, but in a bit of a different form. And here's where the Emir says an unbelievable thing. He says, V'oron bris Hashem nosea lifneim derech shloshes yamim. Derech shloshes yamim. Talit shin yud. Losur le'menucha. To search out a place for them. Derech shloshes yamim rosh tevos shakai. The name of Hashem. Shai kamo b'matan Torah hayu nechonim l'shloshes yamim. Etc. They waited, they prepared themselves 3 days before Matan Torah. So too also, 3 days. Like Hashem Shakai. Derech Shloshes Yom Shakai. Hashem Shakai. We know Chazal tell us. Sha'omer lo lomodai. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to his world, die. Says the Gemara in Chagiga, the world was expanding and expanding and expanding, and there are different ways to understand this as well. I'm going to go with one that is more matzim for our understanding over here. The world is expanding, expanding. The corporeal nature of the world is expanding. And Hashem says, die! Enough. Because if it expands too much, no one will be able to find the thread of Hashem's presence in the world. Physicality can become so thick that we ourselves become spiritual pachyderms. We're incapable of finding Hashem's presence in the world because the physical reality becomes so strong. Again, there's more than one way to understand it. This is the way we're understanding it now. This is the way Kli Yakar understands it. Sh'amr lo'lomo, die. Enough. No more. No more. Amr lo'lomo, die. Amr lo'lomo, die. This idea, also say, Chazal, in the word of the Shem Shakai, Shedai belokusi the cholberio beria. It's the same idea. There's enough of my presence in the world to be found that's findable so that every creation can maintain its connection. When Yaakov sends the Shvatim down, he thinks to this foreign viceroy who has so cruelly taken his son Shimon and put him into jail. Yosef is gone. He's willing to send out Binyamin. He says to him, Kel Shakai should be with you. And Rashi tells us, Kel Shakai, Shakai, Misha, oh, Malolomo, die, Yomar Tzalosai, die. The one who said to the world, die, enough, don't expand more, because mortal man will not be able to find, right, through a thicker physicality. Die, must speak. Don't expand more. So too also, Tzaras, Yaakov Avinu says, die. Rabbono Shalom, Misha, oh, Malolomo, die, Yomar Tzalosai, die. The darkness is getting thicker and thicker. Please, Hashem, say die. And so too also over here, Derech Shloshis Yamim. The sense of representing our failure, which is represented by the Shivrei Luchos, and it's meant to engender inside of us that sense of, what have I done? But nonetheless, Hashem is there. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't go further than 3 days. Don't go further. It'll be too much. It'll be too much. The distance. We'll feel a distance. We'll feel our bitterness will be too strong. And we'll just descend into yeyush, into hopelessness. We hear it. We hear it. Hashem is with us because he's made us into the vehicle that carries his name. Even if we're failing, he won't let us fall completely. The idea of the aron traveling before them, but nonetheless it carries the Shivrei Luchos to remind them that they indeed have fallen, that they need to recoup, but not too far. If the distance is too great, then maybe we'll descend from our sense of embarrassment, of bush, of shame, of how we've contributed to our own downfall. We'll descend into hopelessness, and that doesn't serve anybody's purpose. Not too far. Shivrei Luchos, but not more than 3 days. Not to be that distant. Further, V'nuch ha'yomer, shuv Hashem revos alfi Yisrael. B'shash Yisrael shavim b'tshuva choseres ha'shchina l'menkom ha'roi. That's the second pasuk. Right? Hashem will vanquish our enemies. The Oron. What's in the Oron? Shivrei Luchos. Shivrei Luchos. But not for Kuma Yisrael. Kuma Hashem. Don't distance yourself more than 3 days. Okay. And then the future. V'nuchol yomar, says the Moshe Shaversk. He says, B'shash Yisrael shavim b'tshuva choseres ha'shchin l'mkom ha'roi. V'nuchol yomar. Midas harachamim sareres al Yisrael, shuv Hashem revos alfei Yisrael. the Shekhinah will once again dwell upon us. With the Rivavos Alfi Yisrael, the Gurari explains to us, She'ena Shekhinah Shora, Perish, Kilosh and Rivavos, Beis Alofim, Alfeim, Shnei Alofim, Arei Chof Beis Alofim, Vashchina Shora Chof Beis Elef Machanos Malachim. The Jewish people saw at Maimer HaSinai, they saw the host of 22,000 Malachim. And they saw that those surrounded, as it were, the Kisei HaKavod, 22,000. Chaf Beis Osis and Aleph Beis. They're the emissaries of Hashem to bring His will from the world of light in heaven down to this darkened earth. And the Jewish people said, we want to be like that. Right? We want to be like that. V'diglo alaya ava. We want you, our digolim. You should be upon us as we are your digolim. We are your encampments that carry out your mission here in the world of darkness and transform it into a world of light to go back upstairs. Chaf Beis Elef. Right? That's those who always remain plugged in, the 22,000 Levim. Re'ach Evribo Saim Alfi Shinon Keneged Ze Shechina B'Yisrael L'fich Chayu HaLevim Chaf Beis Elef Shein Machne Shechina. The Machne Shechina is always by the Levim, who always maintained their purity. They weren't Koti B'Chet Egel, but this is to speak, as it were, to all of the Jewish people. It's true, the Aron is carrying Shevi Ruchas in front of you to remind you of your error, but not to break you, to inspire you to pick yourself up with the aid of Hashem out of the dust and know that we are going to be the vehicle to carry Hashem's presence. So there is hope for the fallen, and Hashem is there to revive the hope. Ten Hashem, this should be Ilan Nishmas Raburi, and we should heed the call. Heed the call, just like He heeded the call. Good Shabbos.